Ground Control to Amelia Dalton. Oh, wait, that's not quite right. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of EE Journal's longstanding electronic engineering podcast, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Folks, what a high-flying week it has been. Falcon Heavy takes flight for real. Wasn't that booster landing super cool? The EHang taxi drone took its first flight. And the Eagles won the NFL Super Bowl. But in today's broadcast, we're staying on the ground. So yeah, a little side note. Hey, Elon, next time, give me a little heads up when you're going to launch a new rocket to space, okay? I'd really like to align my editorial calendar a little bit better since my space-themed fish fry episode was last week. Yeah. Okay, so this week, we're digging into the world of IoT with a little help from Lou Ludostansky, head of IoT for Avnet. Maybe you need a little support for your next design. Maybe you need a little IoT encouragement. Avnet's got you covered, and let's find out how. Hi, Lou. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Okay, so I've been hearing a lot about IoT from Avnet lately. Tell me about some of the new initiatives you guys have announced.
Well, thank you, Amelia. It's very nice to be on your show, and I appreciate the interest, and I'll go over some initiatives. The first initiative, we've been building these for probably the last 9 months, the first one we introduced in December, and it has to do with our IoT services that help customers overcome challenges related to bringing the IoT products to market. You know, to date, IoT adoption has been relatively slow. We believe that these tools are going to help address that and allow people quicker implementations. We also, early January, announced IoT Connect, which is a highly scalable cloud-based software platform that utilizes Microsoft's Azure Hybrid Cloud. And this enables us to seamlessly connect to several pre-built applications that we've built. And lastly, we introduced our brand new IoT Starter Kit for AT&T, which allows implementation on AT&T cellular networks. So those are some of the things that we've got going on in IoT right now.
Okay, so Lou, what do you think designers need regarding IoT support? What challenges are they asking you to help solve?
From the designer front, they simply need to know how you marry the worlds of OT, operational technology at the device level, and IT at the information technology level. People that are designers are mostly in the OT world. They don't understand cloud. They don't understand enterprise. And it's really putting all of those pieces together for an IoT, complete IoT implementation. It's something that people say in the industry takes anywhere from 10 to 15 different vendors. We believe at Avnet, we can be that one phone call where once you call Avnet, there's no need to go to anybody else. We don't send you anywhere else for exploration or information. We can provide the complete implementation within our ecosystem.
Okay, so this year's Not Impossible Awards were announced during CES. Tell me about Avnet's involvement with this program.
Yeah, Avnet was title sponsor for the Not Impossible Awards, which recognizes the inspiring work of people and companies who create innovative technologies. The reason that we like to be associated with it is because it points out that beyond just business, there are things that impact individuals that IoT can accomplish and how IoT technology can improve the lives of individuals, many of which have physical limitations. So we really admire the company, and we thought it was a great thing to sponsor so that people could understand the improvement not only in profits but in the lifestyles of people that IoT can impact.
Okay, so I'm pulling out our crystal ball here, Lou. What does the future look like for IoT? Where are we going from here, and how does Avnet play in this?
I think the future of IoT is bright. I think it is nascent market right now. There are a lot of concerns about business cases and implementations, and what we're doing at Avnet is trying to be that one-stop shop where people can go and quickly adopt IoT solutions and determine why they need to do IoT solutions in the first place, which is to transform their business. You know, what I'd like to say is that Avnet has a strategy. We have an implementation model, and what we have is not aspirational, it's real. At CES, we demonstrated three separate platforms that indicated what you could do with an IoT platform, everything from the device to the design, the manufacturing, the cloud, all the way through the applications. And we're ready, willing, and able to help customers today. So I do think in the future, what that's going to translate to is a lot greater adoption of IoT in industry because of the ease that people will have in the implementation. And I believe once we start providing some insights on how we do it, there'll be many others that can participate as well.
Okay, Lou, so let's talk about smart apps. Now, why do you think they exist in the first place?
Well, Amelia, I think the reason they exist in the first place from our strategic standpoint is because we need to scale. And if you are a job shop and everybody that wants an IoT application comes in from scratch and you're starting from scratch, it's very time-consuming and expensive. If we can narrow these smart apps down to a certain number of vertical applications, where all of a sudden we're starting with our IoT Connect on the Azure platform, cloud platform, along with the application and devices that attach to it, we don't need to start from scratch. We can tailor this thing to the specific requirements of the customer. Imagine our smart apps as a tailored suit. It's a suit in a nice store, and you go in and you want to buy it, and out of the box it works, but it doesn't quite fit. So you get things like the inseam and the shoulders and everything else modified to your application. It's a way to quickly modify things without starting from scratch in an effort to be able to scale. The smart apps that we have concentrated around are Smart Factory, Smart Asset Monitoring, Connected Worker, Smart Healthcare, Smart Building, Smart Retail, Smart Office, Smart Warehouse, and Smart Fleet. So those are nine that we have, and they can be used in combinations. They're not all vertical markets. Some of them go across verticals, but we can mix and match them to tailor these solutions to customers while minimizing the time for IoT implementation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. All right, Lou, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you like to fish in your free time. So are you a trout fisherman, deep-sea fisherman, a fly fisherman? What kind of flavor do you prefer?
I am a saltwater bay fisherman, and what I like to do is sight cast to redfish. So I find it's very relaxing. The place that I go to saltwater fish is down on the Texas coast. I do it in a place that doesn't have cell phone coverage and there's no technology. It's just me and the fish. You know, trying to find them and trying to get them to eat when I see them is what it's all about, and it's very relaxing. And I'm not a very patient person, but for fishing, I seem to have unlimited patience. So it's a very peaceful thing for me to do in my off time.
Nice. So do you use a special kind of bait? I know a lot of fishermen use scent of some sort. So you have a special secret sauce with the bait you use?
I use 4-inch New Penny shrimp. It's a very nice bait. It's artificial. You use it on a 1/16-inch jig, and you just look for the fish, put it in front of them, and try to make them eat.
I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Lou.
Amelia, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
A discussion about IoT would not be complete without a little industrial IoT sprinkled in, right? IIoT is quickly becoming one of the biggest forces in the EE community today. It has been estimated that industrial Internet of Things could add $14.2 trillion to the global economy by 2030. So we better get cracking, right? Let me bring in Jarvis Wenger from Men Micro to talk all about this and more.
My guest today is Jarvis Wenger from Men Micro. Thank you so much for joining me, Jarvis.
Hello, nice to be here.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Men Micro all about?
Yeah, so our motto is reliable embedded computing for a world in motion. So we're providing IoT gateways and safe computing products that go onto trains and other rugged environments in the IoT world.
Very cool. So let's talk about rugged environments. Now, you presented a session at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called The Biggest and Brightest of Industrial IoT Technologies in Extreme Environments. So what do you think are the biggest and brightest technologies in IIoT?
Yeah, so for us, it's all about the hardware. So some of the biggest and brightest technologies have to do with making this hardware able to go into these rugged environments. So you have things like processors that will operate from negative 40 to plus 85 degrees Celsius. You have various cooling techniques that allow you to go into these environments where fans won't survive and that kind of thing. So other technologies, of course, that are going into these environments also ensure security and that sort of thing from a hardware perspective.
Okay, so what do you see is the future of IIoT? I know, let's get out our crystal ball and think about these extreme environments and the technologies we need for them.
So kind of trends that we see or like to predict anyway. So we continue to see this idea of IIoT and or industrial IoT and using concepts from the IT world. So virtualized software, for example, and also continuing this trend of more powerful devices that produce less heat. We're also seeing products deployed for longer periods of time. So processors from Intel on our gateway devices are no longer supported for 7 years, and now they're going to 10 and 15 years. All things hopefully make it a better world.
All right, Jarvis, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, if you had one meal for the rest of your life, this is the last thing you're going to eat forever, what would it be?
Whew, that's a tough one. So I would probably say Mexican food, because I like it. I like some beans and avocado, nice. Some guacamole, stuff like that. So,
right on. Yeah.
Would it be spicy, though? Would you like go out with a bang?
Yeah, if it's for the rest of my life, I'd probably add some spice just to keep it a little bit exciting.
Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you, Jarvis. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I'm particularly fond of pinball. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 9th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.